says, this is the way it is. And it doesn't work that way. Why does that discourage me and get me to draw back and become smart? Forgive me. Not meaning smart, wise, and all of a sudden I have answers and I figure this out, and my end result draws me back. Why doesn't that, because the Word of God, who knows that God is full integrity, God is pure and honorable and holy, and every one of us would admit that and say that. But if we really believe that, what are we suggesting when our experience doesn't measure up to His Word, and we back off of His Word because of our experience? Because of His integrity, I should go after Him all the more. Because they passed away, I should be all the more diligent to seek Him and know Him because of the integrity of His Word. Because if God said so in His Word and He's God and it didn't go that way, then something's missing and it sure ain't God and I need to lay a hold of truth. But heaven forbid I take a big step back and say, oh, well, I ain't getting in that anymore. That's too confusing, heartbreaking. What you're saying is I'm still alive and I'm not alive for God. I'm alive for my own understanding, my own feelings, my own emotions. And I've backed off and I've become disqualified and ineffective where the power of God is concerned. Whew. I'm not trying to be hurtful, but that's real. It's happening to us all the time. Because of the integrity of God and our love for Him, and we know He's almighty and He's always just and right and righteous, because of the promise of His Word, that should inspire me. Wonder if some don't believe. Does it make of none effect the power of God? The Bible says certainly not. So if my experience doesn't equate with God's Word, the integrity of God should compel me to seek Him more because it's got to. And let me just use a phrase we're familiar with. And come hell or high water, I'm going after God. So I said to this young pastor, I said, that experience should be your springboard to more hunger, not discouragement. You're being deceived, son. Boy, he got it, man. That's why I was a little late. I was talking to that fella, pastor. I had a good reason for being. I was actually on time, but I was late. In my heart, because I like to see people and love people. I walked in right at 7, but actually it was about 5 of. But I was on the phone with this young man, and who knows that his thought pattern through this pain of loss, he's in a vulnerable, critical place in his Christian walk. Who knows he can get unplugged and still go through the religious motions and go to church and still preach and pull out the power of God. I found in 1 Corinthians 4 that the gospel's not in word only, but in power. Amen. If you're preaching the word without power, we ought to just stop preaching the word. Because the word is power. Now, that's a straight statement, and I'm accountable for it. And I said it, and I ain't retracting it. Because if not, we subject ourselves to a concept, people. And it looks great in blueprint. It looks great on the chalkboard. But the reality is in our heart, we're saying, yeah, but you know, it never really works that way. But praise God, it sure shouts good on Sunday and the songs are right. And, you know, it's just right. It pumps us up now and then. But in the long run, you're left high and dry because you're thinking, yeah, it's never that way. It never goes that way. And where's the miracles? And yeah, I know God can do anything, but you know, we really don't see that stuff. The next thing you know, you're just going through religious motions. And you're singing all the right songs and not expecting anything. I went to a denominational church. They got out them hymnals and they were singing them songs and I was going, I never sung some of them songs. Them hymnals are powerful. Them hymns? And then they said, turn to this one. And they're just singing and the organ's going. And I thought, Pastor Don, I said, they're singing the gospel. I felt the anointing.